I'm gonna start again. start again. Hi everybody, welcome to Dot Dot Doc. I'm Ian. I'm joined, as always, by Matt.
Hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, we're it's been a while. It's been like almost a year, I think.
The band is back.
What was that?
The band is back together.
Like, you take away restrictions, then nobody's got any free time anymore. It's. But luckily, we're all back in it now, so yeah, we've got time to talk about docs. So let's do it. Today, we're going to be talking about Catfish, 2010 documentary. You must have seen it. It's quite a famous documentary. If you haven't seen it, this is going to spoil the hell out of the documentary for you. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's on Netflix. You probably find it on YouTube or something as well. Yeah, you can find it everywhere.
It's kind of the documentary that got a lot of people into documentaries. It was like one of the first kind of big, almost like you could call it like almost a blockbuster documentary. I'd say a lot of people that didn't watch docs before that, probably that opened their eyes to documentaries.
I know what you mean. I remember when it first came out, and I remember the whole thing around it. I remember it being advertised almost as like it felt like a thriller. Because the poster for it, I remember seeing it, and it said like, it had like Catfish, and it said, "Don't let anybody tell you what it is." Mm-hmm. That was the tagline for it. Yeah. And the whole mystery surrounding it was like, you can't tell anybody the ending of it. You can't, it's the journey you need to go on. And luckily, because obviously this launched the term of catfish, you know, like catfishing like someone. So I think now it wouldn't be such a surprise because everybody knows the term catfishing. So I imagine the big reveal at the end probably wouldn't be that much of a surprise. And plus you got the MTV show as well. So
to be honest, like watching it all these years after, like trying to think back to when I first watched this documentary and how shocking it was. Whereas watching it this time around, it's almost like, okay, well, this is kind of normal online activity nowadays. Like there's the shock value has completely disappeared because it's so kind of normalized now. Like, and the way even when people aren't catfishing, they're not necessarily themselves on their social media. And so it's the shock value now, like it kind of, it's crazy to think how much since then, like social media has taken over even more than it had then. And it has, it takes the shock value away completely for me.
Yeah. I feel like it wouldn't have that much of an impact now if you watched it. It's still a fun documentary to watch. And there's still the question of whether or not it is a documentary. We'll get into that in a bit, but there's a whole controversy behind that.
Different thoughts on that
yeah,
as well.
So have I. I've definitely watching it through like almost a 10-year like, you know, lens, like a different like lens now, because I remember when I first watched it, I was like so on edge towards like the end of the documentary. I was like really it's like suspenseful when it comes to like them going to the farm. There's like the bit where they go to the farm, go up to the window, and I expected them to be
scary, like
murdered or something. It was that's the thing, like that's the one thing I didn't have this time watching it, because obviously I've seen it before, I knew the whole thing behind it and that. But I don't know, I think that was the fun part about it. And I remember I watched it and I forced pretty much other people to watch it around me. And I must have watched it like 3 or 4 times within the first weekend that I managed to get hold of it. I think it was on Netflix. When it came out on Netflix or one of the streaming services at the time, I was like, oh, you need to watch this. And watching people watch it was like an experience on its own. It was so good. I remember people being like, on edge watching it, always around the kind of farm bit. And as soon as he goes up to the house, you just feel so uncomfortable. And to be honest, I must admit, I've still felt uncomfortable watching him go to the door, like, and kind of the, even though I knew the whole punchline of it, but
I
don't know. It's, I must admit, this documentary must have, like, it definitely influenced how the use of social media within documentaries. So, like, you can tell that stuff like Don't Fuck with Cats and was it like American Murder that was that came out recently? They're all kind of like social media, kind of using you know, Facebook and messaging as like a plot device. And this does it. I must admit, Catfish does it so well. Like,
oh, brilliantly.
Used the use of Google Earth as well, and made it kind of like the whole, like, clicking the icons and like watching, was it like the Universal logo and stuff like that? That's, I just love it. It's such a cool little.
It's very good, but it's also as well, it, like, again, you wouldn't think of it at the time when it first came out, but looking back on it now, it's almost like a massive advertisement. Like, in its own way, for social media and all these different things through Google and stuff like that. Like, there's so much of it that I realized when watching it again the other night, and it had been a long time since I last seen it, and I always remember enjoying it, but yeah, this time round, like, it was like looking at it through different eyes. And yeah, like, it almost felt like a whole new experience. Whereas sometimes, like, I can not watch a documentary for years. I'll go back in and I'll have the exact same experience that I did the first time round. You know, if there's no mystery aspect to it, then I'm viewing the same thing. I'm getting the same feelings from the same thing. Whereas this time round, it was like, I was more skeptical. This time round, I just picked up and noticed more different things within the documentary. And I don't know whether that's a thing of just like, oh, well, you know, I'm that bit older now, I've had that much more experience now, or whether it is just we're wiser to the world of the internet and social media now than we were back then. It was definitely a good experience watching it this time around.
Yeah, I still enjoyed it. And I must admit, like, as you said, like, you are careful about this when it comes to, like, say, if you online dating, you have to be aware of this kind of thing. Like, if the pictures are too good to be true, you're not seeing, like, you're only seeing, like, two pictures from the same person. It's, but then again, this defeats that idea as well, because there's so many pictures like that Angela uses. She's obviously created like 15 different profiles for different people. Yep. And it's just so elaborate that I think, honestly, if you met someone through this, then through like online dating, and they go through all that effort, you probably will get fooled like right now. Yep. I don't know if you've watched the Catfish TV show, which...
Yeah, I've seen some. I don't rate it in comparison to this documentary. It's night and day. But I had a feeling on the TV show as well, where I was like... I mean, I've not seen the TV show in a long time either, but I remember watching it, and it almost felt glorified. Like, and... when I watched this again the other night, like, it really made me think, like, after this whole experience, I couldn't quite understand, like with Neve, like, it's almost like this opened up a door to him with MTV to make a lot of money. And he grabbed it, which, you know, you can't blame him for that. But also, like, if he really had this bad experience, like, I don't know, it just doesn't gel to me. From going from this to that, like,
well,
it just,
because they just wanted to recreate the, because it, what it cost $30,000 to make this documentary, that's what it, $30,000 to make, and it made $3 million
Yeah.
Like in the end. And well, I mean, from what I see anyway, 3 million when it opened. And I can see why MTV did this. It's like, honestly, it's like just pure binge TV. Like you'll watch it regardless, even if you're not, you know, like, cause all you want to see is that little bit at the end. That's all you want to see. Like,
It's almost like, you know, like shows like your, I don't know, Geordie Shore and stuff like that, where it's kind of, it's reality TV, but not reality TV. Like things are amped up a bit, like everything's dialed to 11. And that's what the Catfish TV show feels like as well. It almost feels like, okay, yeah, maybe these two individuals have met online and one of them's been lying to the other. But when the cameras are on, it's almost like, okay, now it's time to get, you know, really get in that acting mode and act everything up 100% more than it is, like for the cameras, to make good TV.
Yeah.
Or trash TV, like whatever way you want to look at it. But that's still what I don't understand is like, it doesn't gel with me that like Neve had this whole experience and in this initial documentary, and he obviously felt quite bad about what happened. But he also felt, or I think at least he felt some kind of like, he felt sorry for Angela by the end of it as well. As much as he was hurt, he felt sorry for her. But then he's like gone on to make this thing where it's like, it's calling these people out, and it's, there is no like, oh, feel sorry for them. It's almost like a witch hunt. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's funny you should say that because it's apparently always the catfisher who contacts the show on that to reveal, because it's like, oh, hey, I've been pretending to be someone else for X amount of time, like talking for years. But anyway, well, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves on this. But what are your thoughts in terms of the authenticity of this documentary?
Right. When I first watched it, like the very first time, like a hook line, it had me hook, line, and sinker, no doubt about it. And then, like, I remember within the first year of it being released, I'd watched it a lot, like, because I really enjoyed the documentary. And I still do. I think it is a good piece of work. Like, I think it is good. But I remember before, like, I did have sort of niggling doubts, like, but nothing major. Then watching it this time round, like, there's a lot that says to me that there's parts that feel staged. Even the bits like towards the end where they go to the house and Neve meets Angela. And the fact that she's so willing to be on camera and so willing to just have everything about all that's happened put out there, like what does she get from that? But then I almost thought as well, like there's parts in it where I thought, like Angela almost comes across as an actress. Like she's very good. And maybe her sort of payment through this is like Neve and the gang say, okay, well, you know, if you do this for us, your artwork will be seen by millions of people. And I've seen like she opened up like a website for her art not long after. So yeah, like there's a lot that doesn't quite add up to me. And I know that like I've read like articles from around that time where it came out where people were kind of sussing that there might be, you know, a little bit of like kind of a setup to it. And Neve and Neve's brother said, Neve's brother would say, my brother must be the best actor in the world if it's not real. But I tend to find in any articles I see, they say when they're called out for it being fake, they say it's a film based on a true story, on something that really happened. So is that saying that, okay, this may have happened to Neve, but then they've got an idea to create this documentary or mockumentary, whatever you want to call it, to kind of show the world that. So it is true in the sense it's based off of something true, but perhaps not in terms of the people.
I mean, there's always going to be elements where some documentaries are staged in a way to make it more interesting in the storytelling sense. For example, I do feel like the part where they're checking out her songs, like she's sending songs and they're like, oh, write a song about a horse and all that stuff. I think that seemed like genuine from you know, when them finding out stuff. But I do feel like they knew about the whole thing way before. I feel like they played ignorance on like a lot of it. And I maybe feel like maybe some of the bits where they're like unpacking at the beginning of the documentary. Well, I think a lot of the beginning of the documentary was shot after the fact. That's what I can see. But I don't know. I'm just thinking like how I'd do it and stuff, because like the big question is why did they start filming in the first place? I think the whole gist of it was they wanted to explore Abby's and Neve's relationship. But then it kind of seems like I feel like they must have known something was up when they started filming. And that's
I've seen them speak about this in interviews and things, and they say, oh, you know, we're them guys that would always have a video camera on, like we've been doing it since we were teenagers, always like filming each other, this, that, and the other, which you can understand, like lots of people do. But you don't just wake up one day and go, okay, now we're making a movie, now we're making a documentary. There's just a lot of that side of it that just feels almost too good to be true. Like they just had this like gold dust fall into their hands. Like, and then from there, like, cause I even feel there's a part in the documentary where like Neve's getting a bit upset about his life being on display and being filmed. And even that feels a little forced.
I thought that as well.
He almost had to put that in there to, you know, it's like, I'm having such a bad time. Like, it just feels very forced. And like, I think if you didn't have that part in there, it would make it more believable. But it almost felt like they felt they had to put a part like that in there. Like, because from their thinking, like they're probably thinking, well, this is how someone would react to this, so therefore we need to put this in there, otherwise it's less believable. But sometimes less is more.
There's a part like, so there's two parts like that, and from what I remember in the documentary, it's kind of like early on he's like him reluctant to do anything, it seems, and then there's one later on after they've, you know, explored this whole thing, filmed the whole thing, and he's kind of fed up, he doesn't want to be filmed anymore, like at the end he's like, oh, that kind of thing. Whereas that doesn't make any sense to me, because they know that they were making this into a documentary by that point anyway. So like him being a bit stubborn about him being filmed towards the end, it kind of seems a bit after the fact, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like he even says in one of those parts that he was forced into doing it. Like, it's like, oh, you made me do this. Like, and it just, yeah, there's just, like, when I watched it the other night, I was just like, oh, it just, something doesn't ring true about all of that. Like,
yeah, the strangest part for me was, I think the only reason I can think of them starting filming is because they're sent, you know, he gets like sent a photo, he gets sent a painting of the photo he's taken. That's the reason why they started. But then it makes me think, why is Angela sending so many prints and stuff to him? It's just like so much. I think it's obviously for exposure for her artwork, because I know that she's probably trying to drag herself out of that lifestyle that she's in at that time. She thinks this is her opening. She's sending it to someone who's a published photographer in, you know, like in papers and stuff and magazines. This could drag her out of her, you know, this could like become like her dream lifestyle. Like, so I can see where that's coming from, but I feel where she went wrong was, I don't know. And like the one strange thing for me is why would the whole family add him on Facebook? Like everybody just seems to add him, and it seems so bizarre. I just don't understand. I can understand Abby's mum, like Angela, like adding him on Facebook. Fair enough. Like, that's fine. Maybe a message from Vince, like, you know, thanks for supporting my daughter's work and all that stuff. But I just don't understand why it'd be the sister, bloody sister's best friend, her friend, and all that kind of stuff. I just think the whole Megan thing seems a bit far-fetched, why he went to, like, why she would just randomly add him and stuff. It just seems...
Sorry, I was just going to say as well, like, whilst we're on the track of, like, the whole, is it real, isn't it real? Like, when watching it the other night, like, towards the end, Vince, like, coins the phrase catfish, and he has this whole speech, and it feels like a pivotal part of the entire film. But, like, I got from that, like, what... Because I haven't got it word for word, but he basically says that catfish are needed in this world. Like, they keep you on your toes, and they keep you thinking. And they make you think, like, almost, you know, it's a mystery. And in that moment, when I saw that scene, I was like, that's really clever. And then I almost thought, like, is the art of this whole documentary, again, like, I might be wrong, this is just a random thought I had, but is the documentary the catfish? Like, in the way he said, in what he said, like, because this documentary, it does make you think, and it, like, even at the time when it came out, a lot of people did think it was fake. So it is that kind of mystery of, like, what's real and what's not. So I just thought, like, that would be an incredible piece of art, with that being the point of the documentary. Is the documentary itself is the catfish. You're guessing throughout what's real and what's not. I just thought that would be really, really clever if that, like, if they did come up with this idea in creating this, and especially how much they made and what came after for Neve. Like,
and this launched all their careers. Like, this launched Henry's and is it Ariel's? Like, all their careers were launched from this film. Like, you see that what Henry's gone on to do is, like, loads of major feature films and stuff. Obviously, this has completely made Neve, like, a household name. And, like, you know...
Yeah.
A household name for some, you know, for kids and stuff. But,
I didn't really think that. When I saw that scene with Vince saying that, like, I thought, one, that's like the speech in, like, any kind of film or documentary that kind of sums everything up. And I thought it was just so poignant of him to say that, and for them to get it on film, and it just to fit perfectly. But yeah, it did really make me think that that speech in itself made me wonder if the documentary itself was the catfish.
On the subject of Vince, though, I need to talk about him, because he, hands down, is my favorite person in the whole documentary. I feel like he just feels so innocent. Thinking about it kind of breaks my heart, because at the time he's being filmed, he doesn't seem to know anything what's going on. And he's kind of like in his own little world. And he kind of comes across a bit dim, like, in that sense. But, like, he has, as you said, that speech he says, and he's, like, just spot on, and because of it was so poignant, and they named a documentary after him. He more or less kind of, like, invented the term, like, catfishing, in that sense.
He coined that exactly.
Well, yeah, more or less. But I was just thinking after that, I was trying to find out, we're going to get onto this in a little bit, but trying to find out what happened to the family and stuff after that. And I can't, like... I just feel like did he watch this documentary? Did he see this documentary? Did it change his like, mind overall? Because he says this thing to Angela. He's like, you know, she has, like, these kind of cold feet, and, you know, he's kind of aware that she might be doing something like this. And he realizes that, you know, this is what she wants. She wants, like, the house, she wants the the kids, the boys, and she wants, you know, to have security and all that stuff. And I just feel like he's going to watch this documentary and just be like, what? Like, what's she been doing? Like,
he almost is within it. When he's mentioning about, like, this is what Angela wants, he says as well, doesn't he, like, that, and if it isn't what she wants, then I've told her, we'll find what you want then. So, like, there's a sense of me that thinks that Vince, like, he's so innocent, and he just wants her to be happy. Like, even if that means like, at the expense of his own happiness, which is amazing and a lovely thing to say. But yeah, like, I would think if I was him and I saw this documentary, it would be heartbreaking. It would be like, wow, like, because you do get a sense that Angela's created all of this. If it is true, because her life, like, because you get a sense of feeling sorry for her at the end of the documentary. Like, I think that's part of the journey, is you're kind of, once you're kind of realizing what's going on, like, it'd be easy to just go, well, Angela's the bad guy here. Like, look what she's done. She's lied so much. But then you see her life and you're like, wow, like, you know, maybe that's why she has to create this different narrative for herself, like this imaginary world, because it's all she's got other than her life, you know, that it takes a toll on her. It's very strange. I did wonder as well, like, there's a part in it where, towards the end, where she mentions that she's got cancer. And they don't really go into any more of that. Like,
they do.
Obviously, at the end, they put on the screen, don't they, that basically she lied about it.
She lied about the cancer.
Which is insane. And in a way as well, I'm kind of shocked to a degree. I mean, if it is a documentary, you know, I suppose as a filmmaker, you have to put it all out there, warts and all, no matter what. But, like, something like that, like, there's people that have lost people to cancer. And, you know, to the likes of you and me, we would look at that and think that that is heartless. That is, like, so wrong to lie about something like that. But then I'd imagine there's other people that would want to find this woman for saying something like that. There's, you know, some crazy people out there. So I even wondered, like, is it safe for them to put that out there? Like, did Angela know that this would be in the documentary? How much does she know about what's being put into this documentary? Like,
I feel like that was the point of no return on her, like, lies in that sense, because
yeah,
it feels like she, you know, she could easily dial back and be, you know, she making all those profiles and stuff, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, because at the end she says, like, oh, she's reduced all down, closes them down, and there's nothing wrong with her having some kind of online persona that you have, like, a cool lifestyle and stuff, and be someone else, because that's what the internet was, like, you know, that's what it's about, like, originally around that time, you know. You could be someone else. You can be the best version of yourself. You can be you know, you wouldn't share the bad stuff about your life. You'd only put, like, oh, the holiday photos and stuff, and, like, oh, I've been going out and doing this. You won't be like, oh, I'm pretty sad, you know, and that kind of stuff. But I feel like after she said that she had cancer, I feel like that was the point she couldn't come back from, right? Because where does that go from there? Like, oh, actually, no, I've, you know, I don't have cancer anymore, because it kind of makes her look like a piece of shit, like, when she says that, because I don't know. It's,
I got,
she could
it,
she could have easily come back, and I think that's why she wasn't in the focus after that, because I think that's the one thing where she could say, oh, you know, I was having a really tough time dealing with, like, you know, those family problems, having to deal with the boys that she has, And, you know, she wanted some escape. But to say that she has cancer, that kind of, I think it was like her kind of, oh, you can't like layer or you can't all blame me because I'm like super stressed and, you know, cancer, you can't really go into that too much.
Exactly. I felt, well, I like, because I'd forgot that she said that, like when I watched it the other night, and that was a shocking part to me because I was like, wow, I don't remember her saying that. Like when I first watched it, that's so fucked up. But like I took from it that was a moment where that was her clutching at straws. Like that was her kind of like almost get out of jail free card. Like, oh, if I say I've got cancer, nobody's going to argue with that. No one's going to say, you know, everyone would be like, oh, well, you know, like that's the kind of card you can put up. Like if you did have cancer, people would just straight up understand why you've made this stuff up, like this other stuff. And they wouldn't question it because they're like, well, the lady's going through enough, like let's just leave her be. So I did look at that as her kind of clutching at straws moment, like pressure was on her in that moment. And that's what she grabbed at. And obviously later down the line, she, you know, I imagine she came clean to Neve about it, that she was making that up, because she probably felt quite awful about saying it. Or did they just, I don't know, like I just still feel that, don't get me wrong, I'm not siding with her on saying it, like it's wrong, like to say anything like that. But I do wonder if the filmmakers have a duty of care to this woman by putting that out there. Like,
yeah.
And again, you could say, well, she said it, so, you know, she knew she was being filmed at the time. So it's on her, it's her onus, like she has to own that. But at the same time, I do think there is possibly a duty of care to be like, you know, I think that's the main thing I kind of struggle with this whole documentary is, if it is real, then like how much is she aware of what's going to be in this documentary about her? Like, and why do you not ever get any of that conversation in there? Like where they're explaining, did they not explain to her, or did they just shock her one day and go, oh, by the way, you know, in theaters Friday this week, you're starring you. Like, can you do that? Is that allowed?
Well, she would have to sign off on this. Like, otherwise you just see like blurry face, like a blurry face, like in the whole thing. But
which again makes me wonder if like, if Neve and the gang like almost used her artwork as a kind of like dangling carrot, like, okay, we're, you know, if you allow us to use you in this, therefore millions of people will see your artwork. It will be exposure like you could only dream of, and therefore it can create a better future for you with your art. Like, I do wonder if that was maybe the kind of dangling carrot they put in front of her.
Yeah, I see that. I feel like, you know, that's probably one reason why she signed on. But it just feels like kind of they could easily cut out the cancer thing of the documentary and remove the bit at the end, and you wouldn't have known no different. It would have been fine. But I think why the filmmakers were putting that in there is because it was like kind of, it was to show her character, like, and how far she would go to, like, you know, it's like she was trapped in the corner at this point. Like, she has, like, you know, all the people, like the filmmakers there, just, and she's trying to like justify why she was doing that. But she, like, you know, even her, just her lifestyle at that point could have justified the reason for her escape, you know, like in terms of her wanting the escapism, she could have just had that. But I think that was a bad choice on her part, because I think it kind of takes you away from sympathizing with her to kind of think, oh, you know, like, it's the last blow of the documentary, isn't it? It's like the last twist.
I do still think that, or from my part, like, again, if it is true, I do still sympathize with her, like, because I feel that she did feel, it's so strange because I feel she did feel backed into a corner, and I don't think anyone would say anything like, I mean, most 9 out of 10 people wouldn't say that in any situation, like, because it's just, it's plain and simple wrong. But I feel for her to have said that, like she's just a, you know, she's not a filmmaker. If she's not an actress, anything like this, she's just a normal woman that was going about her day, and all of a sudden she gets a knock on her door, and it's this guy she's been lying to all this time. That in itself must have like driven her wild with anxiety. And it is almost like that animal backed in the corner, like nowhere else to go. Like you're just, it's fight or flight almost, like, and she chose that, which is wrong on so many levels, but to a degree, like there's the understanding of like, you know, she's just this woman, like she's like, even that they're all prepared. They know what's coming. They're the ones like going to kind of face this person. Whereas she is, everything's just sprung on her. So I think there is a definite degree of fight or flight there for her.
I mean, she was trapped in a lie, wasn't she? She was trapped in a lie, and like even the bit where she's kind of you know, when she's at the horse ring place, I don't know whatever it is, the horse place where she was with Neve and that, and like it was all slowly coming out, and you know, she was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. And like, even she even tried to say like, oh yeah, like I do have a daughter and she is in rehab and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, about Megan.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, there was a follow-up part of this documentary. It was meeting Amy, the Amy Gun, is it Gonzalez? Like who was in, the girl who is Megan.
Yeah.
The girl in the photo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched it earlier, and I mean, that felt like it made it more real for me, because after watching that, I like, they go to meet her, they meet her, tell the girl in the photo, and it shows her reaction to, you know, they basically tell her the whole story, and then say, and this was Megan who I was talking to, and give her basically like a screenshot of her profile picture. And she's like, what? Like, and it also has the guy who's meant to be Ryan Iverson, I think it was. And he's like sitting there just like really shocked as well. And he's like, what's going on? And they even say, it's a shame that you couldn't have like had me in the documentary, because it could have been like a, you know, if I was single and like meeting you, it could have been like, you know, like a love story, like them connecting finally, like, you know. Which I thought was strange how they didn't do that in the first place. You know, they didn't have her in it. They just had like her, they just had the picture. I guess it kind of, they needed to release it and they didn't have time to put that part out. But I know that was about a year later, about 2011, from what I've seen on the thing. We'll put it in the show notes. Like, you definitely need to check that out. So if you've watched the documentary, definitely check this out. I did watch a few interviews with like Neve and them, like around the time it came out, and a lot of the questions were, is it real? And they're also saying like, don't tell anybody about it, don't reveal anything, you know, don't let anybody ruin the ending for you. And that was the big marketing behind the film. Don't.
Yeah.
And that's unheard of in documentaries at the time. It kind of like, it made it kind of super binge worthy. It's like one of those ones that you talk about at the office the next day, like, oh, did you watch, you know, that new documentary? You know, it's like one of those, it was like the filmification, well, I don't know, I was going to say the filmification of documentaries, but they are films, but it's... But
yeah, I mean, that's like what I said earlier, like it felt like, especially when it first came out, like it was a documentary that it was a documentary for non-documentary fans. Like, there's lots of people who don't like docs.
It's a casual. It's a super casual one, isn't it? It's like, and, you know, like,
a lot of people find documentaries boring. It's just not for them. But they could sit and watch that, and they'd be absolutely blown away by it because it's so different. But that's what I meant earlier when I said like it is. It's almost like a blockbuster documentary, like a blockbuster movie. Like it's big. It's all singing, all dancing. It is water cooler moment at the office the next day. Like people can.
It's a thriller.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in terms, I think we've both mentioned, like, there's, like, in trying to look up anything really since, the first couple of years, there's quite a bit, but then it kind of goes a bit dead, a bit silent. I did read something, I think, yesterday that said that all of, like, Angela carried on speaking to Niamh afterwards, but as different people. Like, she was talking to Niamh again under different aliases.
Ah, okay.
And then she came clean to him again. And that all of her online activity was then monitored. So I don't know whether that was by her family or what. But it also said that she had, like, a multiple personality disorder.
Ah, okay. I didn't see that. Where did you see that?
Again, I was just searching through Google last night.
If you find it, we'll put it in the show notes and stuff.
Yeah, if I find the link, we'll link it in the show notes. But I just thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, I spent ages trying to find out anything that happened to Angela in the last, like, what, 10 years? Like, she seems to disappear after 2011.
Well, I started to wonder if the documentary is real, like, if everything about it is real and correct. Like, I started to wonder if maybe she had to maybe change her name, like, because, like, she would have become famous for all the wrong reasons in this documentary. Like, what are you famous for? I'm famous for saying I had cancer when I didn't. Like, that's, nobody wants to be famous for that. And like I said earlier, there's probably a lot of people that, you know, that go that extra mile to try and find someone for saying something like that. So I wonder if maybe she started to perhaps get death threats, or if, you know, her life was somewhat in danger, like, after this, and maybe that's why you can't find anything now. Maybe she truly does have a new alias now. I even wondered, like, again, if it is all real, if the way to go about making this would have been to not use her real name, like, you know, create an alias for the documentary, so therefore, you know, bad things don't happen afterwards for this woman. There's lots that, but again, that's why lots of things don't add up to me.
I did,
like, the DP. Think about it.
Yeah, I did. When I was searching, I was searching for Reddit, seeing if there's anything on there whatsoever about. And there was a post about someone saying that the catfish lady lives in his town, and it was like, ask me anything, and, like, nobody said anything whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I also found something about they're like, oh, what's going on? Like, what happened to her? And the comment was deleted, but using the magic of the internet, I was able to find out what it said, because there's, like, a website that's dedicated to it. Basically, on Reddit, you can just have it as removed it, and you can find out what the comments say. And it basically had, like, a link to like a Facebook page of an artist, and I was like, oh, wow, this is her. Like, and it kind of looked a lot like her. And she was an artist as well. And it was the same name, but, like, you know, but the problem was, I went onto the page, and the page said, it looks like Netflix has started showing Catfish again, because I'm now getting inundated with Am I This Woman? And it's basically like, she shares the same name, and she kind of looks somewhat similar to her. Like, if anything, she looks really good for, you know, if she has, like, lost a fair bit of weight and changed the hair completely and all that. But she was basically saying, like, I'm not this woman. Like, you know, this every time Netflix or a streaming service starts showing the documentary, she gets, like, inundated with it. And the artwork is a little bit similar from what I see. I'm not gonna link it, because, you know, like, I think she didn't want it to be out there. But yeah, I must admit, it was really hard to find in, like, a lot of stuff. I know that there's an interview where Niamh says he does, you know, maintain contact with Angela at this point. This was probably about 4 or 5 years. Well, it was about 8 years ago, actually, this one. And he kind of basically said, like, oh, like, he kind of I don't want all the questions to be about this. So it's, yeah. So that was interesting. Any, did you find out anything else about what's...
Not really. I couldn't find anything. Like, I did wonder if, like, with Abby, like, the kid, I wondered if maybe... Because even with her being in this... This is a child, like, and, like, she's being... Well, for starters, she's being used by Angela throughout. But also, like, she's being used... in this documentary, and she's a kid. Like, again, the power of the internet, like, people can look anyone up. Like, it, there's, these are my issues with the documentary being real or not. Mm. Like, because again, like, you won't find, or I couldn't find anything on her. But I wonder if, again, maybe that's for the best.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like, I mean, to us, I don't even bother searching for Abby. But it's, I can imagine she's probably, I don't know, she's definitely in a career now where probably nobody knows who she is. Like, and it's, you know, just like a subtle thing.
But again, it feels, it with the documentary, like, if it is fake, like, the only thing really that kind of makes me think that possibly it isn't is the whole cancer thing, but that's only because, like, if you look at it without that, everyone gains from this documentary. Everyone gains. Like, Neve and the gang have all gained massively. Angela would have gained through her artwork being seen, therefore create, you know, being able to create a platform for this stuff. But then that cancer bit comes up, and that's just like, oh, well, okay, well, nobody gains from that.
I don't think you can't gain. Well, Vince doesn't. I mean, he does that poignant bit, like, where he says, like, his thing, but I don't think overall, like, his life would benefit from this. Like,
no, of course not. Of course not. But then Vince is almost like a side part in the documentary. Mm. Although he has this poignant moment, which basically creates the name. And it probably is one of the, for me, it's one of the best parts of the documentary. Like, it could be used as the tagline for the documentary, like his whole speech.
I mean, what was the name of the documentary, wasn't it? So,
well, yeah, but even his speech could be used as a tagline, as a quote. Like, it was just really good. It was a pivotal part. But he's a side piece in this documentary. Like, he's not who they're aiming at. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm very, very kind of half and half, whether I believe in the believability of this whole thing now, after watching it all these years later.
And I think it's important that we discuss why it matters if it's real or not, because basically they lost out on shortlist for Oscars, like, the year it came out. So it wasn't nominated for an Oscar because there's questions over its authenticity, and it also matters because the use of songs in the film. Mm-hmm. So the bit where Megan sends, well, Angela, I guess, sends Neve the song which turns out to be by Amy Cuney. If that was fake, that's not fair use, and there's lawsuits around this right now. Well, I think, like, not even that long ago, there was lawsuits again for this film, because if it's a documentary, legit documentary, and it was just, you know, a fly on the wall at the time, then it's completely fine. It's fair use. You're allowed to use songs that are, like, you know, seen within the, well, heard within the film, sorry. If it's engineered in any way possible, then they should be paying rights to to the labels, to the artists and stuff, because this went on to make $3 million. And, you know, these barely known musicians have, like, got nothing from this. They've seen nothing from the song being featured in this film.
I think... I read something as well, when it showed at Sundance, and I forget the guy's name, the one who done Super Size Me.
Morgan Spurlock.
That's it, yeah. Apparently he went up to Neve and crew after watching the documentary and went up to him, actually said to him, "That is the best fake documentary I have ever seen. How did you do it?" And then they came back, "Well, that's not fake. It's not fake. It's real. It's 100% real." So it shows even other documentary filmmakers had this thought that it wasn't quite, you know, all that meets the eye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Morgan Spurlock's got his hand in every documentary, it seems. Like, look at, Confessions of a Superhero, that he was presenting that. And he's been on a few others from what I've seen. Obviously, his own documentaries, Super Size Me, and I think he did a sequel as well, but I didn't watch that. Done a few, no. But yeah, I don't know. I think all in all, it's an enjoyable watch. It's a journey to watch, and I love showing it to people who haven't seen it and don't know anything about it. But right now, because of catfish being a common term, like, it kind of ruins it from the get-go. The title of the film is a spoiler when you think about it.
And I think as well, I think that shows that the documentary, I think you could show it to anyone brand new, never seen it before, and they would enjoy the documentary. But I think in that term, it holds up, like, in terms of it's enjoyable to watch. It's a fun journey to watch. But in terms of, like you say, like Catfish, just the name of it itself, 10 minutes in, you're going to know what's going on nowadays. So it doesn't hold up in that respect. Like, it's very of its time in that respect. Whereas people would watch it now and they would know what is going to happen, or they could pretty much piece it together. But I still think anyone new to this documentary would enjoy it. I'd still recommend it to people.
Yeah, I'd recommend it as well.
I haven't seen it. I think it's a really enjoyable watch. Like, I enjoyed the fact that it'd been so long since I'd seen it. And then watching it again, and like I said earlier, almost looking at it through different eyes and noticing things perhaps I didn't notice the first time round. That was enjoyable.
Like, just lastly, like, Angela's voice for Megan, was that believable for you? Would you? I personally think it did sound like how I'd imagine her to sound.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah. I think it did sound believable enough that it was a different person.
Yeah.
And you've got to think, if you're just on the telephone to someone, like, and you have no reason to believe that it's someone putting on a voice or anything like that, then, you know, if your mind isn't already in that place, then you're not going to really dig too much into it. And if it's the daughter of this other lady, then, yeah, there may be similarities. So you might go, oh, that sounds a bit like how she sounds, how Angela sounds. But you think, well, it's her daughter, so of course there's going to be some likeness in the voices. So yeah, I think I would have believed it. It really, I don't think I thought about this when I first watched it, but this time watching it, it really made me think that, wow, like, all these pictures and things we, you know, pretty much every single one of us on social media post, like, they can be used. Like, we could have 10, 20 other profiles out there in the world with our pictures and someone typing stuff. And that is us. Like, that's a scary thought.
And it'd be very difficult to find as well. As much as people say, oh, you can reverse image search. But the thing is, like, when you upload to Facebook and other social media now, it basically wipes all the information from the photo. So there's no way to, like, kind of track down, you know, the location of, you know, where the photo was taken and all that stuff.
It was used in that, wasn't it?
Which one? Sorry.
It was used in Don't Fuck With Cats, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Don't Fuck With Cats. Yeah. But it's, I don't know. I think it's easy. Yeah, it's easy to you know, to see this goes on now nowadays, and I imagine like one in or two in ten of people on like half of these dating sites are probably like just make believe anyway. So.
Oh yeah, of course, of course, and like I think as well, like I think that's like one kind of good thing that comes from the documentary. Watching it now is it does make you think about that, because otherwise, like, social media is such a daily part of most people's lives now. It's just ingrained into society that people just do it. They use their social media almost on an autopilot, and they don't really think about what they're posting, the pictures they're posting, how many pictures they have, and what other people could use these for. And no one really thinks about that. But I feel that watching this documentary now, that is something you can gain from it, is just to maybe like start thinking, do I really need to post this many pictures? Do it. I just think it makes you wonder, and it makes you kind of understand and realize that, you know, you're basically giving all that away, and it's then it's in the hands of the world then. Like, and you know, there's plenty of people that would do with that what they wish to, and that's kind of a scary thought that I've not really thought about up until watching this again, and then kind of just sprung in my mind. I was like, wow. Like,
well, I didn't see any problem with, I don't know, posting pictures and stuff on your like Facebook and Instagram and stuff, because you're sharing those photos. You don't expect someone to, you know, take them and pretend to be you, because, like, God, help them if they pretend to be me. Like, I mean, that's, yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Whereas I don't know. I don't believe, I mean, just make your profile private. Done. Easy. That's it. Done.
Yeah. But it's kind of an eerie thought to think that, even if, you know, like we joke and we say, oh, you know, good luck, you know, posing as me or whatever. Mm. But it's an eerie thought to think that someone out there who you don't even know could be using your likeness and pretending to be you.
Yeah.
It, with a whole new personality, a whole, you know, you're you in pictures only, but everything else is different. Like, that's kind of eerie and creepy. And it obviously is done, like, you know, people, you know, even from this, whether it's real or not real, like, we know that there probably are people out there that, you know, that are creating these alternate realities of themselves, and, you know, using other people's photos or using models' photos or whatever photos they want to use. But there's a creepy aspect to that with if it was you, if you found out today someone was actually doing that, and you visited a Facebook page or whatever, and it was everything about it was you, apart from the interactions, the friends, the everything that was being put out there, like, that would be really surreal and eerie to see and to witness. Like, if you hear about it about someone else, you know, it's creepy still, but you're like, oh well, it's not me. But then if you actually found that about yourself, that would be kind of, well, yeah, send shivers down my spine a bit.
Either that, you look at it in the other way, whereas all the hard work is done for you. People have, you know, someone's made friends for you, and all you got to do is, you know, just take their place, jump in. Like, hey, I'm me. Like,
But this is what I mean. You may never find this, so you'll never, you know, you might not even know that you know Jerry from New York and your good friends on Facebook. Like, it's so strange. Like, and I feel as well, like, there is a big part of this documentary and the kind of good thing about watching it all these years later is, like, we were kind of all very naive to social media back when it came out, and I think you kind of realize that on the rewatch of it now, like, how much more we know and how much more it's like I said earlier, it's almost like an advert, this documentary. At the time, like, it is almost like an advert for all these different, like, media platforms and things. Whereas now it is like, like we do, a lot of us use this stuff without even really thinking. Like it's just an average part of any other day, like posting something or whatever. And I don't feel that like let's say Facebook, I don't feel it's used in the same way it was back then. Like it was more back then of like a congregation of your friends, whether they be real life friends that you met up with and, you know, gone to the pub with or whatever, or whether they be just friends that you've met online and you've never actually met, but you speak to, like, whereas now it's, I don't feel that Facebook's really used for that as much nowadays. Perhaps Messenger.
Yeah.
You know, you can keep in contact, which is basically the same as texting someone. But yeah, I feel like now, like a Facebook page is more like, it's almost like an advert for you. Yeah. Like, these are the things I like. These are the things I do. Yeah, it's just, it's a different world in that short amount of time
this film couldn't exist in 2021, I think. And not because of, like, the coronavirus or that. I'm all about, basically, it would be, oh, okay, this girl's doing paintings of my work and stuff like that. Instead of flying all the way across the country or meeting them or whatever, Zoom. There you go, done. Problem solved. That's the documentary over, guys. Roll the credits. I think that's the only difference between now and then is, like, now video, even back then you had bloody MSN and stuff. You could have easily gone...
Yeah, exactly. But you find even through watching, I know it's probably not the best thing to go on, but even through watching the Catfish TV series, like...
Oh, yeah.
They always go into, well, why didn't you video chat? Why didn't you do this? And something always comes up, like, which should be a red herring to begin with. If every time you go to speak on video chat, there's something that comes up. Oh, can't do it today. Washing my hair. Can't do it today. You know, the horse has broke its leg. I need to go sort the horse out. Like, I don't know, but it would be like, you know, initially if someone kept not going on video chat, then most people would kind of fathom that, okay, something's not right here. Or they could even use the excuse of, I'm anxious about going on video camera. I don't like doing that. So therefore you would never see that person, like, through video form. So I think it could still happen in this day and age, because there's always something that can get in the way of a video meeting. Like,
anyway, so I think that's it. I think we've done it. We've done Catfish. We've talked about it. I think we've covered all the bases that we wanted to cover. All in all, I would still recommend it to people, as we said earlier. I think it's definitely had a major influence on the social media storytelling that has, you know, come on since, like in different documentaries. Like we mentioned,
yeah.
Don't Fuck With Cats and American Murder. American Murder is like a good one to you know, for social media storytelling anyway.
I think all in all, like we both said, like, we would still recommend it. Like, I think it is a fun documentary to watch. And it's fun as well, like, the aspect of wondering if it's real or not. Like, that's almost like a fun part of the discussion of a documentary as well. So, like, if, you know, if you found someone that had never seen it before and they're a friend of yours and you're like, okay, watch this tonight, and you know, I want to hear your thoughts tomorrow, there's the fun aspect of that conversation the next day with someone with completely fresh eyes to it and seeing how they take it in. But yeah, I think it's a great piece of art, almost, like, in what it is. And art being that thing that it can be looked at in many different ways. I still really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the aspect of not seeing it in such a long time and then looking at it through slightly different eyes. I really enjoyed it. I think it's good. I'd still recommend it. I'd watch it again. Maybe not now, but
yeah, 10 years, 10 years, 20. Guys, 2030, we'll do like a recap. podcast.
Maybe that's the best way. And yeah, it's very interesting to see what was created after for the people involved in this documentary, and how their careers have just, like, they're kind of glowing now for them. And it was this documentary for a lot of them opened up lots of doors and probably have made them a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
So whatever way you look at it, real or fake, you know, you can't blame them. They've put something out there. It's created opportunity. They've grabbed that opportunity and they've ran with it. So, you know, more power to them, I guess.
That's it, guys. Catfish. Don't let anybody tell you what it is. And that's it, I think, for this episode. It's been good. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
Expect the next episode soonish. We're not going to put a date on when these are coming out. They will come out, you know, every so often. So be sure to subscribe to us. You can send us a message on the socials that are in the show notes. It'd be good to hear from you. Send us an email. Let us know what you thought of Catfish. We'll be sure to respond. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.